locked in as you did some of the, you know, there's not going to be any more of this crap. And it just, as you put it, with the bar coffee, you got to do that, so. It's, you know, it's almost worth doing it, hey, it's almost worth doing exactly the same thing in the cafeteria.
It was one of the great moments.
Yeah. You see, the thing about the Mansfield stuff thing, I think it must say it outweighs the other way. Nothing is going to top our going. All these other jackasses go over these numbers anyway. And Mansfield doesn't deserve it, and Scott doesn't deserve it. No.
Scott is just, we saw it.
Well, the mechanics of the trip, Tom, you know, somehow if we get out there, you got those two idiots along.
They want to have credit cards.
You're going to have to move them up to the front when you step off the airplane. Who rides in the car? Where do they fit? This is one time when Mike was going to get around the shops and insert it.
Mr. President, take care of that.
You get set out on the 50.
That's all right. I nevertheless, I still think.
yesterday Korean War, World War II documents were going to be
good. Yeah. Hake had dinner with Califano the other day, and he says that Califano is his son.
Good.
He said, do you think you have troubles? We haven't got any conceivable candidate at all that he's
had. Jackson.
Yeah, Jackson.
Who'll never get nominated?
He split the left. He said they want to hold the convention so early that people will forget the riots that will occur there. Well, it's...
Getting back to this business here. It really is disgraceful. Arthur Burns is not a disgraceful. I made Arthur. Arthur was frankly the trash. He broke off with Eisenhower. They had a big fight. He left. Then he went out and made a very fine reputation. He's a very, he's a capable man. In 1968, he was not my supporter. He was Rockefeller's supporter. Like everybody in New York. He didn't do it openly, but he was. But we brought him in, and we had to take a little trip to Europe or something like that. Then we bring him in as counselor to the president. I put him in the Fed over the objections of the majority of the members of the Fed board because of his age. You see, he's 68 is in 3 months. 65, 3 years. Well, whatever it is, he'll be... He's 15 years. He's going to be still older than us. He'll stay too long. You don't want that. But it's, I got that. He owes some loyalty. The loyalty, of course, is not to go out pissing on policies.
And he wasn't among professional economists. He was respected, but he wasn't in the...
Not in the top league. No, sir. We raised him right to the top league with that Sloan Crichton. We sent him over abroad. We sent him to Israel, to Korea. Are you going to see where he wanted to go?
Japan.
He has to report.
Just can't believe that they would go through that whole exercise.
Unless they look at the condition of Taiwan. you've got him there. You've already implied that he's going to see somebody there, haven't you? He's going over to pick up a communication, a personal communication to the president that he wanted, that Yahya wanted to transmit at the highest level and was not willing to entrust to either our ambassador or their ambassador.
Right.
And ask that you send the top level emissary.
You told Bob.
Personally,
so he doesn't know whether it's even China to see.
No, no, you shouldn't know it's
China. That's right. He doesn't at this point.
I think
the thing that you get to then is, seems to me, is when Henry gets there, that Henry, to pick up the thing, calls you before he goes across the border.
Says
something in code.
Yeah.
Just say you read.
And you said, go ahead.
And you say, go ahead. And then you tell Bill at that time, this thing does look like, you call Bill in and you say, it does look like there's something really cooking here, Bill, because what they've done is they got Henry into Pakistan, and then they've said they want him to go to meet somebody to pick this thing up, and he's on that now. We still don't know exactly what this is, but it looks like there's more to it than I thought. Then Henry is going to come right back, you know, come back and report to us when he gets back. I wouldn't get into who you saw.
No,
until you come back. Because you can't do on the.
But I must report to you, not to him first.
That's right.
I'm so worried.
You build the story one more step.
Right, absolutely.
Pick up the message. Got they wanted him to fly over and meet somebody somewhere. I don't know where he's going. He doesn't know where he's going to, but they're going off on an airplane to meet with.
I think that's the way that's
right.
Tommy, that I called you and...
We got Tommy flying to China.
I wouldn't even say that.
No. I can say he's there.
He's flying there.
He had a very important message and he's flying to a destination for it. And they're
taking him in their airplane and flying
their base in Pakistan. They're taking him in their airplane to receive a rendezvous point.
If I were you, then at that point, I would speculate. I'd say we don't know what it is, but obviously it's...
But Bill, I've been talking to Yahya for years, a couple of years now, about this, and I thought
pretty clearly maybe that the chances that it's somehow...
Well, but basically, Mr. President, if these things work, it will be enough credit for everyone in the administration. It doesn't do him any good to horse around with all this publicity stuff if the things don't work.
That,
I know he doesn't look at it that way.
That'll work as the logical next step, and then when Henry comes back, he says, guess who I saw? Well, that'll break. Yes, it will. But at least then Bill LaPorte, he can't go back in his own mind and say that we were misleading him. He's been told what is the logical sequence of...
And also, Bill has got to know, despite his own carelessness, if you'd like to say, and he was careful.
Yeah, but that he ran a great risk himself. You know, he was afraid. He will never leak anything that's tough.
But my point is,
he won't leak this kind of thing, because he knows if he leaks anything like this, then there are another word.
There'll never be another word like that again.
No, we're not going to let anybody have a chance to leave about that. That's the whole point.
That's so you don't tell them.
That's the way it is. But at that point, if Bill Lund decides that it's just too hard for him to stay around, he just don't leave. He will not decide that.
I don't
know. Not when the station, not when the flights are going up like that.
Not when there's so much
and
stress.
He's going to go to China. What the Christ?
But it was interesting to me that David Bruce, to whom I said not one word, said, for God's sake, I hope you don't let Rogers go.
He said that in those words, for God's sake.
Yeah, he said, don't let Rogers go. He said, Rogers doesn't know how to handle such a negotiation. He doesn't know how to protect it before Congress. And I have never, as Bob knows, never said a critical word about Rogers to anybody. But Bruce, the thing that excited me was here is an old veteran, 50 years in nearly in diplomacy. He jumped up and down like a schoolboy.
He knows. Incidentally.
He's a great man.
I am going to take him.
Oh, yes.
Where we going?
Yeah, he should go.
That's what you should take. You should take a Nixon party. It should be you. Rogers,
Bruce,
Kissinger,
Bruce.
For example, another thing Bruce said to me, he thinks that the negotiation is going to break based on the last conversation. He got to pull out all this dirt. Because, and he really has been great. He hasn't put the slightest seed on you. He's never played the game. He says his staff is driving him crazy for new initiatives. He said he never passes them on to you. He thinks he's there to...
New initiatives. That's trouble with the Congress, Bob. Now I see that slimy bastard person
in the room. He is a son.
And the whole thing is he's whining because he wants to sit at the high end. This level will tell you how the hell to run the government. But it doesn't want to give you one iota of loyalty or support.
That's right.
I'm not going to listen to your interview badgering around. It is not true about the conversation on this meeting this morning. You've got something going, and it's the time, seems to me it's the time to make it go. I think you ought to do the same thing at the cabinet meeting tomorrow, kicking the staff out, and I think I ought to take my notes from this meeting and do the same thing at the staff meeting.
Yeah,
and just say we're putting the same order in the staff here, and that this is precisely what we're going to do in the White House.
Absolutely.
You see, all of it comes well off the secret papers thing, too. Secret papers thing, and off the fact that you've made the economic decision, and you're moving on that, and it gets it away from foreign policy, so it puts it across the board. It doesn't put the finger on any one individual, but it makes it goddamn clear to all of us.
I think that's a good idea. I think it should be done without staff. To the cabinet, maybe just Bob there.
Nobody. Probably no staff.
With that July 15th thing, if it works, Lee Duck Go is going to go right up the wall. It was very interesting to me. I mentioned it to Bob. I asked him whether he visited Lee King often. A lot of little byplays that were amusing, that were, you know, 3 years from now, that were, they were significant, otherwise they mean nothing. But there's always a social half hour where they go upstairs and the Americans stay together. This time, Lee Duck Go stayed with us, plus an interpreter. And Walter sat on the other side of the table with Lee Duck Go, and I said, here you come, it's a special advisor. Now you are splitting our delegation. You got our people sitting with you. So he got up and crossed and sat next to me. He said, no, these special advisors have to stick together. And sat down next to me. Which, well, A, they've never had a social hour with us, and B, they've never crossed the table. So then I said to him, do you go to Peking often? And he said, oh, no, I don't go much to Peking, he said. I stopped there on the way west, but you know that anyway, but usually I have nothing to do with Peking. In every previous meeting, he said, we are like the lips and the teeth. We're close together. Peking is behind us. That second part, I think, is more significant. Oh, but crossing the table was somewhat interesting.
Very interesting.
Well, if this works, Mr. President, the September 15th thing is academic. The big incentive these guys have to settle this is the Vietnamese election. If this negotiation breaks, we'll have it by September 1st.